This Friday at the Wharton Center, the Lansing Symphony Orchestra kicks off their 87th season. Joining me now, music director of the LSO, Maestro Tim Muffet. Thank you for coming.
Thanks for having me, Mark.
We got a little shower here that we're... it's helping cool us off a little bit, which I think
adding to the humidity.
But the temperature is dropping a little bit. It got awfully warm down here today. Well, for this season opening concert, the LSO welcomes a pianist of worldwide acclaim, Jeremy Denk. Describe Jeremy Denk's style for us. Put it in some perspective for
sure.
us.
Well, Jeremy is a fascinating musician, and it goes well beyond his... I mean, he's a great artist at the keyboard, but he's also a wonderful communicator about music and a curious individual. And I think that's where he really has made a name for himself, is his ability to communicate and talk about music and think about music and share his excitement for music, and people really respond to that.
Is describe him as a player, though. Is he known as a superlative technician, a superlative interpreter, both?
Well, I think there are no limits on the technique, and certainly his interpretation of his interpretive abilities are what really got him noticed on the concert stage. I think one of the things that really distinguishes him from me is his curiosity of repertoire. So he ventures out of the mainstream repertoire and into the fringe a little bit, and really genuinely explores some important American music like the Ives Concord Sonata. And so I think he's a far-reaching and broad-minded musician. Mm.
Well, the piece that Jeremy Denk will be performing with the Lansing Symphony is Beethoven's Fifth Piano Concerto, The Emperor. But earlier this week, that was not the piece. Mr. Denk originally was set to perform Ravel's Left-Hand Piano Concerto, but Ravel is out, Beethoven is in. When something like that happens, how do you prepare dozens of musicians for the program change?
Well... you get the word out really fast, and there's a little bit of scrambling.
A midnight rehearsal or two in there?
Well, we hadn't started rehearsing yet, so that was good. We had time to reconfigure our library and get the right music out for the players, so it all worked out okay.
In addition to the Emperor Concerto, the Lansing Symphony Orchestra's season-opening concert this Friday deals with late Romantic works, as well as another landmark bit of Impressionism, La Mer, Claude Debussy, The Sea. Music for orchestra, for our listeners unfamiliar with La Mer, tell us about it.
Well, the two pieces, La Mer is kind of one of the signature works of what is now referred to as Impressionism in music, and it's three movements that describe different aspects of the sea. The first one is from morning till night at the sea, and then another is the play of the waves. And so they're very evocative works that describe physical and emotional elements that we associate with something as extraordinary and complex as the ocean.
I've got to move my iPad out of the rain here. Yeah, we've got a little rain to be concerned about. This
rain and electronics don't go well.
No, they don't. My iPad has never looked quite so pathetic here. Kevin Labrie's going to erect a little covering here for us. This is a season-opening concert this Friday. Does the symphony have to be whipped back into some kind of shape after the summer or not?
Well, these are all professionals who have probably been working in the summer as well in summer festivals or playing in the area. It's not like the instruments go in the cases. And
yeah.
a working musician is always a working musician. So
Timothy Muffet of the Lansing Symphony Orchestra is our special guest here on Current State on AM 870 WKAR. You have the interesting distinction of heading the orchestras at two U.S. state capitals.
That's right.
The Lansing Symphony and the Baton Rouge Symphony. A few weeks ago, of course, historic flooding affected Baton Rouge and impacted several musicians that play under you. And on a GoFundMe website set up by the Baton Rouge Symphony, which you've also posted on your Facebook page, you wrote, "They lost homes, vehicles, and belongings. Some have also lost their instruments. These instruments are the tools of their livelihood." Talk to us about your view of what happened through your musicians.
Well, It was a disaster for them. Fortunately, it wasn't a lot. It was the flooding in Baton Rouge was very interesting because it was so localized. So you can be in one part of the community and it wouldn't appear that anything had happened. And then you're into another neighborhood and it's obviously a disaster area. And so for our instruments, for our players who lost instruments or lost vehicles, they've also lost their livelihood. And it's a, we're just trying to help them with their own personal recovery.
After Friday's concert, some of the Lansing Symphony Orchestra players are not yet done with their weekend. There's a performance on Sunday from a different branch of the LSO, the LSO Jazz Band. Talk to us about the jazz band and how many members are in both ensembles? I'm curious.
Well, that changes a little bit, but it's a good representation. It changes from one concert to the next, but a good representation. And then Ron Newman, who directs the jazz band, is so well connected and highly respected in the jazz world of Michigan. He's able to get the very best of the best in for this group, and we're very proud of the jazz band and. They sound fantastic.
I want to follow up with one question on Baton Rouge, which I should have asked earlier here. Were you anywhere near Baton Rouge during the flooding?
No.
Okay. So you just heard about it all secondhand.
It was in New York State at the time. Yeah.
Oh, okay. How open, back to the jazz band, how open to jazz do classically trained, classically focused musicians tend to be? I imagine there must be some number of purists who wouldn't get near jazz, but there are others that are just a whole lot more open to it.
I think that attitude has changed over the decades. I think there was a time that was the case. But now the 21st century musician is really well-versed in all styles. If they don't even necessarily perform in that style, they have a familiarity and an understanding and a respect for all the musical styles out there. It was Duke Ellington, who said there's only two kinds of music, good music and the other kind. And I think that's generally recognized here. And what's been interesting when you talk about those sort of attitudes is to watch how, just in the last less than 10 years, how rap music is starting to come into the symphonic world. And today's living composers are writing pieces that incorporate rap into symphonic repertoire. And that's probably very similar to the attitudes we might have found towards jazz back in the middle of the 20th century.
The opening of the 87th season of the Lansing Symphony Orchestra, Friday night at 8 p.m. at the Wharton Center. Guest piano soloist Jeremy Denk performing the fifth piano concerto by Beethoven, the Emperor. More information at lansingsymphony.org. I got to get a plug in here for Jody Knoll here while we're at
it.
Because as with all of the other LSO concerts, there's a preview conversation with WKAR's Jody Knoll before the concert. It takes place in the Jackson National Lounge right outside the Cobb Great Hall at Wharton. What does Jody talk about during these half-hour-long presentations?
Well, they're all different. And we feel so fortunate to have Jody with us. He is a great communicator about classical music, and he will give the concert conversation audience some background in the music, sometimes some background into the performers, and just basically information that will help them even greater embrace the program in a more powerful way.
Well, we wish you a fantastic evening on Friday, the first night of the 87th season for the Lansing Symphony Orchestra. Our special guest has been Maestro Timothy Muffet. Good
luck. Thanks for having me.
Good luck. We'll have you back before long, I promise.
Hope so.